most insignificant trinket goes through multiple meticulous steps to come out into the world. A tiny piece of paper receipt, which we might toss away immediately after receiving it, for instance, comes from a big tree, which had to be cut down, debarked, ground into wood chips, which are then turned into pulp to be mixed and processed with chemicals, dried, processed some more, etc., etc., going through countless steps to become that receipt before even coming into our hands. When we've only seen and known the final product, or the end result, but then happened to chance upon the processes that led to that result, well, we can't help but see it in a different light. Suddenly, the end product starts to feel a little more meaningful, and we appreciate our newfound additional understanding of that product. I think the same goes for people. When we get to know some of the steps they've taken in the past, what kind of life they'd led up until we met them, we feel closer to them, and sometimes the question, well, why would they think that way, turns into the realization, no matter that's how they think. So what do you think? Are you also guilty of overlooking the process because you're too busy focusing on results? I'm Lena Park, and this is One Fine Day. 너와 나 언젠가 남이 되어도 영영 닿을 수 없는 사이 되어도. Welcome to One Fine Day with Lena Park. We started today's show with 잊어버리지 마, Don't Forget by Crush and Tan. So that maybe we don't forget that everything had a process before we saw it in its final state, right? Even the smallest item we own or the simplest product we come across, well, they don't just fall out of the sky. Someone's done the work to plan them, make them, distribute them, and everything in between. In other words, although it's invisible to us, every product item we come across contains countless processes, as well as the time and the effort of everyone involved in those processes. So when you think about it in that light, nothing in this world is insignificant or meaningless. Every single thing in the world has a backstory to tell, origin tales of their own. Well, if you could hear the backstory of any item in your possession, whose would you want to hear the most? Which of your belongings do you think would have the most interesting origin story? Well, today's One Fine Day has been pre-recorded, which means I won't be able to share responses on air in real time, but I hope that doesn't stop you from sharing your very interesting thoughts with me or your fellow listeners. After all, as you know, your sayonder, stories and anecdotes about anything and everything are always welcome. Nothing is too trivial. Anything goes. You can message me on Kong, right on the message boards on our website at world.kbs.co.kr, or leave a comment on our latest posts on Instagram at KBS One Fine Day, or on Facebook at facebook.com/EnglishKBS. If you have a Korean phone number, you can also send a text message to #8150. A regular SMS text will cost 50 won, and a long text or MMS message will cost 100 won per text. In part two of today's show, we'll be joined by music critic Youngdae Kim for our monthly look into the world of K-pop from the outside. It's for our K-pop Inside Outside segment, so do stay tuned for that. All right, moving right along to our next song break. Here is 별 and her song 왜 모르니? Why don't you know? That was 별 and her song 왜 모르니? Why don't you know?
Speaking of not knowing, up next we're going to listen to two songs that mention finding out something about oneself that they didn't know before. You know how sometimes we learn something new about ourselves only when we're going through a totally novel experience? Well, in these songs, the protagonists encounter completely new sides of themselves, sides they never knew existed, because they are in love. In the first song, the protagonist struggles to name the emotions he is feeling for the first time after a breakup. In the second song, the protagonist literally says, "I didn't know my emotions could be so diverse, and that I've come to love myself reflected in your eyes." All right, let's listen. First up is New East with Inside Out, and then it's IVE with 11. You're the one that I want, the one that I need, the one I'll be free. You're the one that I want. We just heard 11 by IVE, and before that it was New East with their song Inside Out. Now, a quick announcement about our daily prize. Send your messages on Kong, comment on our SNS posts, write on any of the message boards on our website at world.kbs.co.kr, or if you're in Korea, send me a text to #8150 and you will automatically be entered into our daily prize draw. Prize winners are selected each day after the show, so if you've sent me any feedback, don't forget to check the notice section on our webpage. And if you find your screen name or part of your phone number on the winner's list, well then, send us your shipping info via email so that we can send you your prize. In the meantime, here is Din Din and his song 너에게, To You, featuring 정세훈. 숨겨도 감춰도 너인 걸 나는 알았는데 오늘도 너만 생각하며 버티는데 아직도 기다려. You're listening to One Fine Day with Lena Park on KBS World Radio. Reruns of One Fine Day are aired multiple times throughout the day. You can catch them on the website or via our mobile apps like KBS Kong or the KBS World Radio On Air app. Our broadcast timetable is available on both the website and these apps, so take a look if you can. And if you just want to stream past episodes of the program, just check out the Listen Again menu on the website. Or we are available as podcasts, so this means you have the option to listen to any episode wherever you are, anytime you want. All you have to do is look us up wherever you get your podcasts. Please remember, though, songs that we play on the show are not included on the podcasts due to copyright reasons. Now, I'll be right back with today's Parallel Universe after one more song break. Here is Mad Clown with 우리 집을 못 찾겠군요, Lost Without You, featuring 볼빨간 사춘기. 아저씨, 여기서 주무시면 안 돼요, 여기. 여기 계시면 안 돼요. 들어가세요. 집에 어디세요? 찾게 빠진 게. different, but not entirely. Two different songs from two different parts of the world. It's like they belong to a parallel universe. It's time to listen to a couple of songs that are seemingly nothing alike, but actually somewhat similar in one way or another upon closer inspection. One K-pop track and one non-K-pop track. It's parallel universe. Today we have two songs that share the title, Promise. It's a beautiful, beautiful title there. And it is a title that holds a lot of promise. First up is the K-pop song called Promise by Hwayobi. Hwayobi made her debut with a bang in the year 2000, surprising everyone with her amazing vocal chops. She was just 20 years old when she debuted, using back then her full name, well, her full stage name, Park Hwayobi. It's been a while since she dropped her last name to go by just Hwayobi. But her song actually comes from her Park Hwayobi days. Promise is, in fact, from her debut studio album entitled My All. This song featured a then little-known male vocalist who went by the name of Naor and enjoyed a bit of a second wind after Naor became the household name that he is now. Though his careers as parts of Brown Eyes and Brown Eyed Soul, as well as his solo activities. Well, here's a bit of the words to this song. In this cruel world that pains us, how much pain must we endure? Must we be so stained by your tears? Dear, please don't cry so much. Don't leave me. Our promise to be together forever, I'll keep it at all cost. Nice. A little song of commitment there. And for our non-K-pop side, we'll listen to the song called Promise by American singer-songwriter Mark Diamond. This young Seattle native caught the attentions of major music magazines like Billboard, Ones to Watch, Variance, and Substream. Early on in his career, they all showered him with critical acclaim. He released his debut EP entitled Hummingbird One back in 2019. Promise was one of the tracks on that album. It's a guitar-heavy and poppy tune, and it starts like this. When you think of me, do you think of my heart? Does it make you feel good? Does it tear you apart? I wonder sometimes if you want to know what it would be like together, alone. Do you feel that temptation? Be honest. Just say the word. I'll be there. I promise. Sort of cute, backtracking to the beginning stages of a relationship. Well, let's listen to both these songs. First up, Promise by Park Hwayobi with Naor, and then Promise by Mark Diamond. That was Mark Diamond with Promise and Park Hwayobi with Naor performing Promise. Those were the Parallel Universe songs of the day. All right, coming up in part two of today's show, we will be outsourcing some outsiders' outstanding understandings of the outrageously complicated world of K-pop with the help of outspoken music critic and ethnomusicologist Yongdae Kim on this month's K-pop Outside. I will be right back with part two after one more song break. Here is Gondry by Primary and Ohyuk, featuring Kim Yerim. Welcome to part two of One Fine Day with Lena Park. In just a moment, we will get an expert outsider's view into the world of K-pop with music critic Yongdae Kim, so don't change that channel. But first, let's take a quick song break to give our expert some time to get settled in. First up, here's Pinkle with their cover of 당신은 모르실 거야, You'll Never Know. After that, it's Park Jae-jung with 다시 태어날 수 있다면, or If Only. The world of K-pop is ever-changing and ever-evolving. You think you're keeping up, but all it takes is a blink of an eye before you find yourself playing catch-up. Fortunately, we know some folks in the know, experts, who can help us stay on track by sharing their secrets from the inside as well as their well-trained views from the outside. It's now time for K-pop Inside Outside. This is K-pop Inside Outside. It's a segment designed to help us keep up to date with K-pop and also learn a little bit more about it. And to share his views today from the outside, music critic, ethnomusicologist, and author Yongdae Kim joins me in the studio. Welcome, welcome. Hello.
Hi, Lina. Why are you laughing?
It sounded like you needed a little minute.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm building a kind of like a tension.
Oh, here. Building
momentum.
Tension.
Yeah. Sounds finally good. Saying something that's not really significant at all. Just hi, casually. Well, do you know, you definitely know the Korean, saying phrase, 작심삼일, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How's your New Year's going so far?
I was a lot more excited last week to tell you the truth. I've started up on a few of the resolutions that I did, but it's not going like full speed as I thought.
Things are
taking a little longer than I thought.
Are you a type of person with a big like a big plan, big agenda in the earlier New Year?
Not really. But
okay.
This time around, I did have a few resolutions.
Like.
Getting back into a regular exercise routine was a big one, but that's kind of gotten a little bit delayed. I was like, oh, but this is the first weekend that I don't have any schedules, so I'm just going to be lazy. And, oh, diet starts tomorrow. You know, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have 60 more,
right.
more weeks.
Yeah, plenty of time.
plenty of time.
So that's going a little slower. But other things, you know, I've gotten off the track. I got my hair cut. That was like a big thing.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Things like that. Little things that I'm trying to get back to. Trying to get back into cooking and eating healthier, stuff like that. That hasn't happened yet.
I like the new hairstyle.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, yeah. Prettier than your husband's new hairstyle.
Thank you very much.
Well, the reason I asked you that question is, what was my question anyway? I'm not the type of person
with a big resolution
or something like that. But this year, I actually had some.
You had some too.
Well, short things like I want to read a lot. I mean, read a book.
That's
a
one
lot.
Of mine too.
I want to listen. Well, listening to my music is my job, so I want to watch a lot of like good documentary,
movies
and films and things like that. But
expand media.
Not going well.
Not going well.
I haven't read a single page of some of the books I plan to read. But let's see.
You'll get there. You still have, like, you know,
there.
Like 50, you know, something 50, weeks, 50
something
49
weeks,
weeks left. We got plenty of time. But at least you are keeping up with the music. And we count on you to do that so that you can kind of inform us here and share wonderful tunes with us. What kind of playlist did you bring in today?
Well, the first song I brought today is one of the, probably one of the biggest, latest release of K-pop idol scene is NCT U.
Oh.
Yes, it's a kind of compilation album of all the NCT subunits and NCT.
Right.
Yeah, 127, U, whatever. So it's a big NCT album, came out last year.
Wow.
And the song that I chose was actually not their leading single or title track or some famous one, but the kind of hidden gem.
I love that.
Of this. So how do you... You're already an NCT fan, especially after reading my book, right?
I really love, your book really turned me on to 127. And honestly, one needs to take some time with what a particular group is doing. Mm-hmm. You can't just kind of, you know, hear like 30 seconds of what their title track is on the radio and then become a fan. Some people you can, but other group, especially with K-pop idol groups, because it's hard to get them confused and give them an identity. But your book, your chapter on NCT really left a big impression on me. And so, I started paying a lot of attention to 127.
Yeah, I'm one of the I think one of the barriers, I think, for a lot of people, especially the general public, to go into this realm of K-pop, especially the idol, especially the boy band, is that the title track usually are for their loyal fans.
Sure.
So it has rather stronger feeling and more, kind of like a raw appeal that not many general public would enjoy. Well, it's a good one, but it's
if
still,
they don't have the context,
right,
it's hard to get it at first.
Lyrically, musically, sonically.
Absolutely.
So I usually recommend for those who are not familiar with the particular group or particular genre, I would recommend the album track, you know, the B-sides, not the title track.
So like start from the back to the front, right? Start with the last track and move up.
Yeah. Sometimes it works. I mean, as a critic, I don't know, I have kind of pressure that I want to make this whole scene more accessible to general public.
Sure, absolutely. So that's a good tip.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so here is one good example. NCTU is an amalgamation of all the NCT groups, the units. And you did not bring in their big kind of charting track, but a hidden gem from their album.
Right. So NCT usually is considered as a more modern or hip industrial type of music with a lot of, you know, bass noise and things like that.
Yes.
But I think one of the biggest charm of NCT is their ability to sing, ability to convey the message in very traditional form, like with vocal, with good melody and emotion. So I think this one actually proves that point. It's
nice.
Sweet Dreams.
Already the title is.
Yeah. Composed by famous K-pop producer and composer Ming Ji-sheon and Juni. Yeah, especially this song. Well, NCT is known for that kind of aspect, but it has really the jazzy, progressive, like advanced chord progression and transition. So you definitely hear that kind of elaborate the elements of the song.
And like, no matter how well a director can direct each member of an idol group, if you give them something very sophisticated like this, you're acknowledging that their ability to,
interpret.
You know, exactly, and express themselves within, you know, a complicated chord progression. Or, you know, it was like the last NCT 127 song you brought in, Focus or Shisan. They wouldn't give this song to them if they couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
You know, to put it very, very simply. So that in and of itself is a really good kind of evidential marker of their abilities as individual musicians.
Yes, definitely. They, as an artist, they individually, you know, put a lot of input for making each track. I mean, not just directed completely.
Definitely,
by
this is the next generation, right? Yeah. Input and also trying to find what their identities are musically, individually.
Yeah.
So it's kind of exciting, and it's nice to kind of launch into this week's K-pop Upside with something refreshing from NCTU. It's Sweet Dream. That was NCTU with Sweet Dream. This is a style that I heard a lot in 127's album as well. This sort of kind of a love song to the 90s and a little bit of neo-soul.
Yeah, interestingly,
really nice.
this is becoming a thing of K-pop. You know what I mean? I mean, it used to be the thing of American pop, American R&B and neo-soul, like you mentioned.
Absolutely. But 2000s, early 2000s, we're talking about.
But in the U.S., it's those kind of stars are particularly considered as a kind of, you know, consciously retro.
Right,
but,
that's
but
true.
But in K-pop, everything seems to be kind of trendy in a way.
Like,
you know what
basically,
I mean?
Anything goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Whatever
anything
goes.
Yeah. If it works for them. And there's, we hear retro elements because this is speaking to this very neo-soul movement that I remember at a very formative time. But it still also sounds very new and fresh as well. And it suits the members well.
And if you're not from that tradition, so if you're not a fan, well, in the past, if you're not the fan of this neo-soul in particular, this sounds new.
That's true.
This is definitely sound new. So that's why...
it's a win-win, actually,
win-win,
the point of the producers as well.
But
I do hear this a lot with NCT units. They're kind of segue into... they'll do their really avant-garde and hard-hitting, you know, title tracks, and then they'll go into very melodic, sort of borderline 2000 music, soul child kind of neo-soul realm.
Yep.
But I think that, like we said before, we listened to the song, the talents of the members, are informing that position. Mm-hmm. Like, they know that this is a strength for them. So it's kind of cool to hear.
Yeah, I heard from a lot of producers, foreign producers, who are now actively, you know, participating in the K-pop scene. They've always praised the K-pop for that kind of, like, open-minded attitude. So they Well, they said they would never be able to deliver this kind of material in the U.S. pop market because they're looking for always new, looking for
new trends.
Well, new trend, either retro, consciously retro,
right.
or new trend. But in Korea,
yeah.
they could do whatever they want.
Anything goes. It's
as
like you can bring anything to the table.
As long as it would suit for the style of a particular group.
Suit the members.
Yeah, suit the members.
I like that. And it does suit them very well. And
yeah,
it's a really cool track just to have on any playlist.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we're going to move on to our next track. Is this also a new track?
Yeah. Yeah, new track.
Wow. How exciting.
Old, kind of like a familiar name.
Old and new.
Yeah, old and new.
Yeah.
Kim Hwan-sun's new single,
wow.
Feeling. Yeah, Kim Hwan-sun. Wow. So, for
Kim Hwan-sun, for a quick rundown of who she is, how do you explain her? The first Korean dance star, I guess.
When I was a kid, she was Korean Madonna.
Okay, that's right. I've
that
heard that before.
That was kind of simple description.
They called her the Korean Madonna.
Or
she
Cindy
sang
Lauper,
and danced.
Bit. Yeah.
And her dancing skills were unlike anything Korean audiences
okay,
had seen
so
before.
Okay, here's my takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
So when Kim Hwan-sun made a debut in
yes.
the singing and dancing together.
Yeah, yeah.
It was completely new format.
Very,
so
very new.
Before Kim Hwan-sun, well, there used to be a good singer
yes.
in the center, at
yeah.
the center.
Uh-huh.
And there are a lot of like...
surrounded by dancers.
Yeah, backup dancers. Backup
mm-hmm.
dancers.
Mm-hmm.
So they dance. And the singers a little bit, well, they had some moves,
yes.
right? Dance to it. But they're not a, professionally
right.
trained or professional level of dancers.
Sure.
But Kim Hwan-sun actually paved the way.
Yes.
Kim Hwan-sun, for those you're not familiar with her,
mm-hmm.
she was actually first kind of K-pop idolish female
That's
pop star.
That's very true. I mean, we could call her sort of Boa before Boa, the
exactly.
generation before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She was recorded by a famous singer, Lee Jang-hee, at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was a dancer before she became a singer.
A singer,
that's
yes.
very K-pop-ish, the
yes,
approach, strategy,
that's true.
Right?
Yes.
So
familiar now, but back then,
yeah.
kind of really new ground
yeah.
that was being broken.
So, yeah, so she was a really quality singer, but she was absolutely fantastic dancer.
Yeah.
So she definitely opened up the new scene, new market
yeah.
for the younger age coming up later.
And then here she is, decades later, still putting out new music. I actually saw something on social media. She was doing an appearance at a radio show, and she just started dancing. And,
and she's still...
just still amazing.
Still superstar shape,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
In every way.
Yes. I think she looks better than she did in the 80s and 90s, but she's amazing. And this is her new track.
New track, Feeling. So
mm-hmm.
Do you remember the album released by Kylie Minogue last year?
No.
Yeah, it's a whole, like, the whole album is that kind of retro disco,
oh,
like
interesting.
Fever or something like that. So it was highly praised, highly regarded
mm-hmm.
by the critics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kim Hwan-sun, I guess Kim Hwan-sun mm-hmm. actually heard the album, maybe.
Maybe.
And,
maybe got a little inspired.
Yeah, if she did not,
mm-hmm.
I think that this, the whole thing, whole vibe and a wave of retro
mm-hmm.
would influence her a lot to make this song. So, in the 70s, there's the artist like Donna Summer, right?
Yeah.
Disco queen,
mm-hmm, right?
Right. And I think Kim Hwan-sun was trying to be... to kind of
channel
Donna Summer vibe.
So we've got a disco vibe
yeah,
going
disco
on.
Yeah, disco vibe, definitely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Disco's hard to pull off. So, you know, it's just, you know, you have to just really know what you're doing and be really, really confident. And disco and K-pop.
Yeah, you
really
should
cool.
be rhythmically driven,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You just cannot sing out.
Yes, that's true.
For a disco song,
that's
right?
That's true. It's not a belting kind
right,
of genre.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen. It is the new one from Kim Hwan-sun. It's called Feeling. That was Kim Hwan-sun with her new one. It was called Feeling. And there's that disco retro going on. But I hear also a lot of 80s synth pop.
Yeah, synth pop.
Which
is definitely.
Which is old.
Like
but
Weekend.
Yeah, like it is very, there is a lot of weekend in there. And it's very, it's to me, it's nostalgic, but it also feels very fresh right now. And this is a very heavily adopted kind of musical trend these days, right?
Yeah, that's the thing about disco.
She does it well.
I think the probably most influential genre in any like pop music history, I think one of them is definitely disco.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, disco was shaped in very different type of form and mm-hmm. different subgenre. So back in the 70s, it was disco.
Right.
But 80s, we had a techno and house.
Yeah.
It was partly disco, right?
Yes.
And then was, like you mentioned, synth pop, new wave.
Right.
It's also a kind of...
It's riffing off of that, that rhythm that disco really kind of put into place
I think
for everybody.
Those were still disco with different names because back in the 70s, there was a lot of hate and like an anti-disco movement.
That's
so
true.
They tried to kind of revamp, kind of re-innovate the genre
it
into
evolved.
Something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, and the whole, like, later R&B movement was greatly influenced by disco.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 30 years, 40 years later, we have a new disco fever
mm-hmm.
coming back.
It's true.
With its own style.
And K-pop loves disco as well. They've never been too far away from each other for too long.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, this is K-pop Outside with music critic Yongdae Kim. What is next?
Well, it's directly linked to the first song that I introduced by
Sweet Dream.
Sweet Dream, mm-hmm. yeah. One of the composers of the Sweet Dream is Juni. Yeah. You know him?
No.
Yeah, it's a Canadian.
I've seen him on credits a lot.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was so active recently, and not many people, you know, knows about this guy. And
mm-hmm.
I don't even know, you know, all the details of her, you know, the information. But
mm-hmm.
he's from Canada. So he's Korean, he's
Korean-Canadian.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, like, the colleagues mm-hmm. in the business does not hesitate to say, this is the guy. This is the probably future
and
the genius.
So he's just really kind of... starting to get his stride as a composer,
and
but
apparently he's everywhere.
He's everywhere. Also a singer-songwriter as well.
First, I think, discovered by JB,
mm-hmm.
Im Jae-bum of GOT7,
mm-hmm.
and later he was contacted by a lot of different agencies. So he's almost everyone in SM's catalog these days, and JYP as well. So this song, as a solo artist, he released a song named Nostalgia with a former, current GOT7 member, JB.
Yes, that's right. Former / not former, still current GOT7 member, JB.
I was kind of confused.
Yes.
Because JB personally was not part of JYP anymore. But
But GOT7 is still,
GOT7 is still there.
Together. Yes. Woo! Dodged that very well.
It was dangerous.
Yeah. Yes, but JB is still doing a lot of wonderful solo projects as well as other GOT7 members, and here he's teamed up with Juni. Someone to kind of keep an eye on, look out for in credits and stuff.
Definitely. I would definitely recommend this guy and this mm-hmm. new song to everyone. I think for those who not even familiar with K-pop
mm-hmm.
or this idol music, this is a song that everyone can enjoy.
Yeah.
And the subtle nostalgic elements and the beautiful melody and chord progression and the every single detail of the songs are so good. I mean, it just works. So I definitely believe that you will like this song.
All right. Well, we listened to Juni's co-composition at the top of our segment, right? We listened to Sweet Dream by NCTU. And let's kind of explore a little bit more the versatility of this artist with Juni and JB collaborating on Nostalgia. Oh, this is fantastic. We just heard a song called Nostalgia by Juni and JB. And I don't know if it's nostalgia for past times or past music that maybe they grew up listening to. But I kept hearing this certain, like, weird cowbell percussion that totally transported me back. I'm trying to like place where exactly I heard it. I know this isn't right, but there's a little PM Dawn in there.
Yeah.
right? There's a little...
Set the drift of memory release.
A little arrest development. Like, I don't know. It's taking me back a little bit to, I think, college
age. Somehow it
with very subtle tricks of using
somewhere.
Certain sources. It's amazing how you tap into... We always say if you hear a certain song, it can transport you. You smell something and it makes you remember something. But I feel like Junie was using, you know, very deliberately certain key sources in his arrangement that maybe meant something to him and is going to mean different things to different listeners, but it's pretty fantastic.
But you know what? He's 25.
Oh my gosh.
So how would he be able to be, you know, grasping those kind of, I don't know.
I don't know. These days, it's just amazing.
Where did he get that clue?
You know,
how did he manage to bring us all back, like, over 40-something?
You know what I think it is I think he listens to what he considers oldies. Not oldies to us, but oldies.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of reminds me of musician Park Moon-ji,
mm-hmm. yeah.
who's very famous for her.
Because,
I mean, she was really not boomer in the time, the era, or when if she was alive, she was like 2 years old, 3 years old. Of the era of music that she is focusing on actively in her arrangement. So, you know, it's like a retro
But she nails it every
she,
time.
She
exactly
really
understands what kind of element
Meticulous.
And what kind of like a subtle like detail would take us back.
It is. She knows how to tap into it. And I think Junie has a sort of a kindred spirit, but for a different... Kind of a different past.
I guarantee
that
he's the one to watch. He's the one to watch it. in the coming years.
And his vocals make me think of like maybe he did guide vocals for NCTU because I feel a connection there
in
the
definitely.
Sensibility there. All right. And speaking of, I think we're taking a switch now in our playlist. Our next artist we're going to listen to is
So actually, this week's theme for the oldies is. Graduation. Yeah, I mean, we are having a kind of earlier, like a early graduation than usual because of pandemic era.
Yes.
What do you remember for your...
My graduation?
Yeah, when was the last graduation? How many schools you graduated?
How
many times graduated?
Just the normal amount of times.
Okay.
Elementary school and
middle,
then junior high and then
high school
and then college.
College.
Yes.
Not graduate school.
No, I didn't do graduate school.
Okay, so
about four graduations.
Okay.
Yeah. You went through many more.
Right. Well, I got master's,
yes,
PhD.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, two different masters.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but I failed to attend the last two graduations.
Ceremonies. Yes. Circumstances being
circumstances,
what they were.
I don't know. I just didn't want to go there. I just didn't feel like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my mom was super upset.
Oh, no.
But the last graduation, I had my excuse because, I mean, it was officially canceled.
Oh, that's right.
My PhD graduation was was happening in the pandemic.
During the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about graduation. And I brought some music that's...
Associated with Koreans when we go into graduation time.
Yeah,
and
one of the songs was officially... Well, not official song, but officially...
Yeah,
unofficially sung by everyone during the graduation.
Yes, so, it is quite a national treasure, this song.
Right.
Yes.
Do you see any difference between Korean graduation and American or...
I'm not as familiar with Korean graduations personally, so I don't know if I'd be a really good person to compare both.
Right.
Yeah.
So for me, I think the biggest difference, especially in my generation, is that Koreans see graduation as a goodbye, as farewell.
Yes.
But a lot of Americans, Canadian, North American that I watch, is that they consider graduation a new start, new beginning.
A beginning.
Yes. So leaving all this behind.
Right. Launching out into a new chapter. True.
So in that aspect, I think that's why, now I understand why this particular song, the first song I chose, 이젠 안녕, became the anthem.
Yes.
Unofficial anthem for
graduate students in any at any level of their life here in Korea. There was always a... a 50-50 mixture mm-hmm. in the graduations I've experienced in the
Mixed
States,
feeling.
Where it's a very bittersweet because mm-hmm. you are saying goodbye and hello at the same time.
Yeah.
It's true, definitely.
Yeah.
But there's more of a feeling of goodbye.
My daughter, first one, graduated yeah. elementary school a few days ago.
Yeah, congratulations yeah. to her.
Yeah, but especially elementary school,
yeah.
it's, simultaneously a mm-hmm. goodbye and new start,
That's
right?
That's true.
Anyway, the song 이제 안녕 means a lot, especially means a lot to Korean students and Korean people, no matter what generation you're from. Because in my generation, 이제 안녕 was famous, not just famous for the graduation ceremony, mm-hmm. but the really famous go-to song mm-hmm. in 노래방.
Yes, that's
it
true.
It was always the last
the
song
last
that
song.
You have to sing along. Everyone
okay, our hour is almost up. It's time to put on 이제 안녕. I think that this was also a popular last call song.
Yeah.
At some, you know, a long period, long past.
It's a typical boring choice, actually.
But it just signals to everybody something.
It always works.
It does. It definitely does.
Everyone started to cry at some point of the song and
yeah,
the bacteria.
I can imagine.
But the song was originally intended as a farewell song mm-hmm. It's a farewell song of Gong Il-bi to their fans.
To their fans.
Yeah, because they believe the second album, the song mm-hmm. was included, second album.
Yes.
The second album was supposed to be the last
album.
Yeah.
Yes. We're anyway. Glad it wasn't, but it was intended to be. And that's why I think it had all those feelings and emotions of, this is it, this is a farewell. And I think people really catch on to that even now. So let's take a listen. Here is Gong Il-bi with 이젠 안녕 or Goodbye Now. That was Gong Il-bi with their song 이젠 안녕 Goodbye Now. This is a song that is very
waving
hard
hands.
For anybody to not wave their hands to when they get to the hook and sing along. It really is part of, you know, culture as we know it, pop culture as we know it. All students know it.
When I was in the mm-hmm. States mm-hmm. A few years ago, teaching music, Korean pop culture for the American college students,
mm-hmm.
this song was always my last song to play.
They
actually had no idea what the song is about
right.
and the lyrics. So I always translate the song mm-hmm. into English.
Mm-hmm.
There's no official translation, so
right.
I translate it myself
mm-hmm.
and handed out the lyrics to mm-hmm. the students.
Yeah.
And some of them are about to graduate. Some of the students about to leave the town
right.
for their personal reasons. So every time we listen to this song together, always they all cry.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So it was amazing to see because, I mean, this is from a whole different culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Written and sung in Korean language.
Yeah.
But with that little, a translation of my own,
uh-huh.
they totally understand, totally get
they totally
what
get
the
it.
Song is about.
That's fantastic. I love that. All right. That was 이젠 안녕. You know, definitely our listeners, if you can get a hand on a translation in your language of these lyrics, I think that you're your heartstrings will be tugged as well. And moving on to our next track.
It's a Yun Jong-shin featuring...
Jeong-in.
Yeah, 오르막길.
This is
it's always a legend song, right?
This is definitely
covers so many different
beautiful
artists.
Legend song.
Beautiful.
And Yun Jong-shin, we actually coincidentally heard his voice on 이젠 안녕.
Yeah.
Amongst the large chorus of people singing
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And this is part of his monthly single project. And it's funny because I actually worked with Jeong-in very recently.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also always amazed because in the credits, it's credited to Yun Jong-shin. It's Yun Jong-shin의 오르막길.
Yeah.
But you don't hear him anywhere, and it's all Jeong-in, and most people think it's actually Jeong-in's song, and they have a problem finding it. They're searching Jeong-in 오르막길, you know, so they get confused.
Yeah, when the song was first released, it was titled as a Yun Jong-shin song, so the Yun Jong-shin fan or not, you know, they started to listen to the song, and start to hear is this very weird. I mean, very unique quality of voices.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them actually, in my generation, some of them actually wonder, is it 한영애 or...
Oh,
Wooba sounds young, right?
Yeah.
So
the unmistakable voice of Jeongin.
Yeah.
Yoon Jong-shin actually does a version of this himself, but it is Jeongin's version that is Jeongin's the version. Definitive, I think, version.
Is Jeongin doing good?
Yes, she's doing great.
Okay. Yeah. We as a youngster, as a 20 years, 21 years, we used to hang out.
No way!
She was in my, at the time of PC통신, right?
Seriously?
Now we are in the same
community. So you guys community. Are online buddies.
Yeah, black music community.
Wow,
so he
that's
was
fantastic.
one of the wannabe singers in
junior
high.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah, she's doing great.
Okay.
Two beautiful children and... yeah, and then she sings 오르막길.
Yeah,
and you brought this in with an interpretation to reflect graduating.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Well, it could be interpreted as a someone who's about to, you know, having a new chapter
of their life.
The song was composed by Yoon Jong-shin for new Jeongin Cho Jeong-chi
their
couple.
Marriage.
Yeah,
yeah.
Before their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So actually this song is about, you know, how hard the future would be.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to come together at some point. You're going to reach the same goal.
We're going to reach that peak.
Yeah, reach
the top
that
of the
peak,
hill.
Top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so
beautiful.
Be courageous, you know, be confident and be supportive. I mean, that's the message. But for me, that could be a good message.
A beautiful message.
Beautiful message for anyone. Anyone's
graduating.
About to begin. Yeah, graduating.
I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The wonderful thing about this song is, yay, congratulations. It's like all, you know, downhill from here. The future's so bright. Gotta
that's
wear
not
shades.
It.
No.
No
In
way.
This song, they're like, here we are, we're starting, but it's uphill.
Yeah,
get ready.
And as an older generation, as an adult, it could be the message to, not as a gonde, you know, the oren for the younger generation.
Yeah,
there's going to be tough future.
There's going to be tough
future. You're going to be facing a really tough future.
Yeah.
But in the end,
we're going to reach the top.
At the top of the...
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
A fantastic song for all graduating students. Seriously, I want to totally gift this to kids I know graduating now because I think it's a great message.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, my niece. I'm going to give this to my niece. yes, so let's take a listen. It's Yoon Jong-shin, sung by Jeongin, 오르막길 or Uphill. We just listened to Yoon Jong-shin, 오르막길, Uphill, sung by Jeongin. This was Jeongin's version. And if you guys are curious about his own version, he takes his monthlies that are most... His monthly singles are about half, roughly half sung by guest artists, like, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also puts his own spin on it on a different compilation album. And those are really, really nice too.
Yeah, this one was such an expected success.
Yeah.
At the time, it was not huge commercial success.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, this one was discovered by so many people from many different contexts. And that's the power of music, right?
It is.
You know, beyond the original context, beyond the original interpretation, you know,
it becomes this universal thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I turn this song into a graduation song.
I love the graduation aspect. I have a great version to recommend to you and also our listeners, but I actually saw a performance of this song on season 3 of I Am a Singer, and it was Sweet Sorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And they sang this song and they brought Jeongin because it was a duet mission.
Yeah.
There's already 4 of them.
Uh-huh.
But it was a duet mission, so they had to bring... So they brought Jeongin in. So it was 5 of them singing this song together.
Was it great?
Gorgeous. And Sweet Sorrow interpreted this song as their uphill battle as a group, as musicians. And they just felt this connection with the song.
I almost forgot about this. Well, I'm a singer, like many years ago.
It's a long time ago. That's why you have
still, to... Still, one of my favorite, probably the favorite I'm a singer performance is you singing 겨울비.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
honestly.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Each performance was very, very special. Absolutely.
Do you remember what you said after your performance?
Mm-mm.
나 잘한 것 같아.
I do remember that that was one of the few times I had to go first.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It was the first one.
I had to go first. And then so that was a little little nerve-wracking, but then I actually liked it because I got to enjoy everything else afterwards. But going first, but yes, but I highly recommend that version as well. Mm-hmm. You can just see how, like, just as Youngdae was saying, how universal it's become in interpretation. Fantastic for graduation season as well. All right, we're gonna squeeze in one more song. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and this one as well is was not considered usually as a graduate song, but. In my interpretation, it could be the one for,
I like this.
Yeah, for anyone. Well, so if you graduate, well, some of you might feel that you feel a new pressure, right?
Oh, yes.
Especially after graduating college.
Yes.
If you're not really, if you not found a new world, new realm, and you're still struggling with everything, then you feel like you do not belong. You know,
it's true. There's so many. I mean, even my roommates and friends in college, we all kind of had this idea that once we get through the 4 years and we graduate, everything will just fall into place.
Yeah.
But actually, a lot of us felt more confused after graduating college. Yeah. Well, okay, now what do I do? I have a communications degree. Now what do I do? It was more confounding.
Yeah. And at some point, you know, everyone would reach the point where you might think, so what am I doing?
Right.
You know, what's my goal?
Where am I going?
Yeah.
What is the end game here?
What's the purpose?
Exactly.
What's the destination?
Exactly.
Things like that.
Oh. A lot of students facing graduation right now will probably be feeling exactly this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And our wise man, Lay Chin-e-chul, thought the same way.
Yeah.
And I mean, his whole career is about that question.
Yeah.
You know, where,
that's true.
Yeah. Where am I? You know, where do we come from? And
who am I? And where am I going?
Yeah, where am I going? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the purpose? What's the meaning of this life? His very first song as a member of Muhangedo was the 우리 앞에 생이 끝나갈 때.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he wrote the song for the very end.
Right of life
for his first
for his
album.
Very first song.
So very first song. So.
Wow.
He was something else. I mean, you know, whenever I talk about him, I got emotional automatically.
You were very close with him.
Yeah. So, anyway, this song, Dream of a Freshwater Eel. 민물장어의 꿈.
민물장어의
꿈. It was discovered by fans and audiences, the general public, later as one of the great masterpieces of him.
Yes.
But at the time of the release, it had a kind of lukewarm...
Reception. That surprises me.
It was not a hit.
Okay.
But Chin-e-chul really loved this song.
Ah.
And he always believed that this one should be played for his funeral.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's kind of ultimate embodiment of his idea about life.
Right.
And no matter what other would say, you know, no matter what this society, you know, makes you feel about something, you know, no matter how hard it is.
Right.
You have to find that goal.
Right.
You have to put your life, put everything on that one mission.
Mm.
Find out who you are.
Right.
And find out the... it's like one moment in time, right, with Houston. That one moment, that one, like a goal, you have to pour your
heart
into it.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of allegory. It's a story about freshwater eel going back to the sea.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To see the bigger world.
Right.
For just one time or one last time.
One last time.
But that's the goal. That's the mission of us.
It's beautiful. And it was a beautiful kind of a metaphor that he found there for the journey of freshwater eels.
Yeah.
And very, very creative. One of the most unique songs, I think, in K-pop as well. And a beautiful way to end out our segment.
Yeah, this is my ultimate message to
this
the
is,
audience.
This is like the ultimate song. It really says it all.
Yeah.
An ultimate message. A fantastic message for all students graduating. But not only students graduating, this is graduation season, but for anybody who is embarking on new things this year.
Or feeling empty.
Yeah.
And feeling like they lost some
feeling
cause.
Like me, like panicking that's already mid-January and we're like, wait, our lives haven't changed yet. What's going on? It doesn't matter. It's some some point in time that you set out for yourself.
And you always ended up with that mission.
Yeah, that's just
one
working
moment
towards
working
that.
Towards that.
Moment by moment.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Youngdae. A lot of inspiration. Also, a lot of great mix of new and old, as always. Thank you. I hope you have a fantastic
week. I enjoyed it a lot,
week.
As always.
Yes, and we will see you next time. We're going to say goodbye to Youngdae. Taking us out is the late Shinhye-chul with 민물장어의 꿈, or Dream of a Freshwater Eel. 좁고 좁은 저 문으로 들어가는We just heard Shinhye-chul and his song 민물장어의 꿈, Dream of a Freshwater Eel. And now that we are fortified with wonderful songs for any graduating stage of our lives, we are here at the end of our show. Let me say goodbye with a song by Yoongeon. It's his rendition of 가려진 시간 사이로, Between Hidden Time. Thank you all so much for tuning in. See you tomorrow.